WSBTRadio.com presents a fan's perspective on Notre Dame sports. This is Dome and Domer.
Hey, Irish fans, welcome back to Dome and Domer. I'm Mike Sullivan along with Mike Brammer and Ed Sullivan. We'll preview the upcoming Notre Dame-Stanford game. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email at info@domeanddomer.com or go to our website, domeanddomer.com. Okay, guys, I think we're all pretty pleased. We're sitting 3-1 going into a winnable home game. But, you know, just looking back historically, I know Charlie Weiss says this isn't a trap game, but Stanford at home, we've got some bad memories with that in the Holtz era.
Yeah, you know, you could hit midterms and sort of the time in the middle of the season. I think we've played them later at times. But it seems like Stanford at home in this middle point has always been difficult. Why is that? What's going on with that?
Well, I think the one year Ricky Waters fumbled the game away a couple times. But, you know, that was a different Stanford team, a different era, certainly, back in the Walsh era. But Jim Harbaugh now at Stanford, and they're really a different kind of offense than what you normally associate with Stanford. And I think that's one of the intriguing matchups this week. Stanford has become a power running team. They like to run the ball. They're averaging nearly 170 yards a game on the ground. And that's just not what we've been accustomed to when you play Stanford.
No, that's right. That's right.
I would imagine and it's going to be interesting for us, I think, in that regard, because obviously the strength of our defense is our defensive backs. And I think what that's going to lead us toward is, you know, probably gambling a lot by going into a lot of man coverage, you know, basically daring Stanford to throw the ball. And that's going to lead to us to just being able to hold the run, and we're not going to hold them to no first downs. I mean, there's nothing like that that's going to happen. But I would like to see us come in and gamble on a third and three, and gamble on, you know, situations like that where it's going to be, you know, maybe not the obvious running situation, but just assume that they are going to run the ball.
Well, I think it's going to be a little bit like the matchup against Michigan State, albeit right, a less talented group. Mm-hmm. You know, you don't have a Javon Ringer, but I think Stanford is going to run a more traditional offense with two backs in the backfield and try to bang it down the field on you. But they don't have Javon Ringer. So I know, you know, they got a good running back. I can't recall the kid's name right now, but he's not Ringer. And I thought, as we've talked about before, I thought we did a decent job against Michigan State's running game when you back out the big run he busted at the end of the game to ice it.
Right, which is a question about whether you could back that out or not. Because when you pound, 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 and then, you know, you're going to break one. I mean, we've done that for years, people in the Holtz era. But I agree with you that we did good enough against that power running attack to stay in the game late. Three turnovers we had, okay? We were not efficient on offense. We turned the ball over. So you kind of ask the question, man, it might be a totally different story if we're putting the ball in the end zone, putting points on. That puts pressure on the power running game, and that might be the key for us. Our offense really played efficiently, even when we didn't get points against Purdue. We got a couple first downs. We flipped field position. We did not turn it over. We're going to need that kind of effort again.
Yeah, the three and outs you're not seeing, which is a good thing from us offensively. But, you know, some of the talk has been centered around, all right, is this the kind of game that, you know, Notre Dame's going to be overconfident on?
And okay, by the way, how you get overconfident coming off a 3-9 season where, you know, your key win has been a team that's in the bottom of Division One.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that Weiss actually addressed this in his press conference, and I think he made a good point, and he flat out just admitted, look, every single game on our schedule is a toss-up. There is no game that we go into where this is an obvious win for us. And, you know, Stanford's kind of in the same situation as us. They had not their best of year last year, although they did upset USC. But, you know, these guys are hungry. These guys are coming into this game knowing that they got a shot against us. And
they will totally be hungry. I agree.
Yeah, and I think the one good thing is you are not going to see a Notre Dame team that's going to come out and look flat and assume that, you know, we got this one in the bag. I don't see that at all.
I agree with you guys. The emotional edge, I think, will go to us. At least I'm hopeful that it will. Yes, Stanford is going to be hungry, and playing at Notre Dame is a big thrill. And I think Jim Harbaugh's done a great job and has toughened Stanford up a bit. However, Ed, you hit it right on the head. How can you possibly be overconfident? I just don't see these guys getting ahead of themselves because the pain of last year, as well as the Michigan State game, I think is too close to the surface.
Yeah, but there's a, I mean, the problem is there's a lot of young kids and young players on this team and guys of that freshmen and sophomores who might think, oh, no, I'm not overconfident. I'm taking them seriously. They really haven't learned how to be focused, how serious that has to be, the ability to take a win and turn it into a higher level of intensity for the coming year. I think we're going to see some unevenness given the number of freshmen and sophomores we have.
But I don't know that that unevenness is going to be attributable to overconfidence or whatever. I mean, this is where the coaching staff earns their money. All the X's and O's aside, it's managing the emotional pulse of any team, let alone a young team, and where you really got to count, as we talked about last week, you got to count on the leadership of the team keeping those guys with an even keel. And based on what you saw, how they came out against Purdue, I just don't think that they'll come out flat due to overconfidence or anything else. I think that was a taste of success, and they're probably hungry for more, and they liked how that felt, and they want more of it.
Yeah, momentum is one of the things, obviously, you want to capitalize on that, and we have that right now for sure. It is going to be interesting to see if the coaching staff harnesses this and then moves this forward into the Stanford game, because if we can win this game, and I'm not saying in a blowout fashion, but if I would consider to win this game by 14 points to be a huge success for us.
Oh my God, yes!
And if we could win this game by 10, 14 points,
look,
going into North Carolina, talk about
Fram,
momentum.
It's not about the number; it's about the letter W that you write on the schedule. The number doesn't matter. I don't care if we win 3-0.
It's certainly on the high end of the expectation level, but I certainly think that, and I haven't seen the odds on this game yet, but I would figure that we are a 4 to 5 point favorite.
Oh, easily. I think easily.
At home. I mean, you got to assume that we're going to win by 7.
What is this? You got to assume stuff.
Yeah, Bram, just talk to me.
That drives me crazy.
Mike, just talk to me. You and I are reasonable people. Yes, you're looking at this game. You got to assume that we're going to win this game, and a touchdown seems like a reasonable margin against Stanford at home, despite what Ed is just wetting himself over there worrying about this. Now, Ed, to give you credit, though, which I don't like to do, but sometimes I have to, I think what you said earlier about the flow of the game is really going to be critical. What we didn't do against Michigan State was get the ball in the end zone and put pressure on their offense. And against Stanford, if we can start fast, capitalize on what we did last week, continue that kind of momentum, and get them down a little bit, get them out of their comfort zone, I think that's a real key to our defensive success as opposed to letting them dictate the tempo and pound the ball on us.
Yeah. We have not started fast this year in any game. I think it was real critical we got in the end zone to tie it up against Purdue. We didn't go down 2 touchdowns. That was really important. The fastest start we have, what I want to see is what we looked like in coming out in the second half against Purdue. Man, that was a different team. Now, of course, you got the third quarter adjustments and all that. They were seeing something, and maybe they went after that, and I understand that. But when you really look at it, Michigan gave us a huge boost. We didn't really come out fast. San Diego State, God knows what that was. And then against Michigan State, we gave it away and didn't get in the end zone.
So you don't think we came out fast against Michigan?
I think it was more to do with Michigan than us, the turnovers.
Yeah,
wake up. I mean, yeah, that was a great win for us, but let's not have any illusions that we went and just took Michigan by the throat.
No, we deserved to win that game. There's no doubt.
Of course we did.
Yeah. But I think one of the good things is that we've seen with this team that we haven't with others is there's been a lot of situations where the opposition, including Michigan State, was in a third and greater than 5 situation or a third and greater than 6. How many times did we see last year where it was 3rd and 1 or 3rd and 2? It was
right.
We never had a situation where, we had these guys backed up. And I think if we can get Stanford in a situation where it's 3rd and 7, that's where that plays to our favor. That's where the DBs that have been making plays, that would be the best situation.
One of the points that I've sort of complained about, Mike, you've told me as you do most of the time, that I'm off base on that. We haven't gotten to anybody in terms of sacks. We've gotten some hurries. We threw people out of rhythm at some very key times. Against Michigan, we did that somewhat against Purdue as well. But part of the thing with Tenuta was we're going to create pressure. We're going to get sacks. We're going to dictate to them. We're going to come at you from all angles.
Okay, is there a question there?
We haven't seen that. Okay, and
we
need to get to the quarterback.
Yeah, I think the argument there, and Weiss addressed this in his press conference, and he took exception to this, and I liked what he said. He basically said, look, fine, we don't have any sacks. We got one sack. Take a look at the opposition's percentage of completion. Here you had a team, Purdue, that went 52%. That means that one out of every two times they throw the football, they completed it. That's saying that, number one, it's coming down from where it was last year, but we're getting some pressure on the quarterback. We're probably not sacking him, but we're at least there in his face forcing him to get rid of it sooner.
Right. Our pass efficiency defense, I think we're somewhere around 33rd, 35th, something in that range, 32nd in the country pass efficiency defense. That's pretty darn good. Given the problems, I think, with the sacks totals, and I agree, I'd love us to not be last in the country in sacks. I mean, don't get me wrong, but that stat can be somewhat misleading. It's not as bad as it appears. But the reason I think you don't get flat out the sacks is because that individual guy on the edge who, on a one-on-one move, speeds up the field, gets to the quarterback. We don't have that guy. Ethan Johnson, I think, will develop into that guy, and I think it will happen this year. But because we're not having the guys, offensive linemen don't have to double team our big guy, you know what? The blitzes don't get to the quarterback. But we are getting some pressure, as Brammer talked about, and that in combination with the good skill guys we have in the secondary is why our pass efficiency defense is more than respectable.
Well, we've made our guys in the back have made some plays despite not getting enough pressure, and that's been great. When, you know, forcing them to throw, we've also played against teams that have chosen to respond to us by dinks and dunks, quick three-step drops, slants, stops, that kind of thing. Maybe Stanford, if we put them in passing situations, they're going to be more a traditional pocket, you know, drop back, and that might give us an opportunity. But I think that the two real important keys are scoring efficiency, offensive efficiency, all right, putting them in that position, and then getting them in some passing situations and getting to the guy.
Well, this is now, I think you touched upon a real key to the game for Notre Dame is red zone offense has been very, very bad, inconsistent. Yeah. We've talked about the interceptions in the end zone with Clawson, the missed field goals, all those things are very, very correctable. I think the offense, as evidenced by last week's game, the offense is beginning to find itself, and I expect that we're going to see a much better red zone performance because the things that, you know, the problems that went wrong had to do more with, you know, correctable things with the quarterbacks or the receivers. Think back to last year. You know, I'm thinking of the Penn State game. There were other examples. The defense gets us the ball at the 10-yard line, and
right.
You just knew we weren't going to score.
Right,
you just
exactly.
knew. I mean, you just knew it, and we'd go for it on fourth down and not get it or whatever. And I used to feel differently. We have more playmakers on offense. The running game is still a work in progress. Last week was a great thing to see.
Step forward.
But we don't know if that's going to sustain itself. But we have more playmakers. And, you know, Michael Floyd and Golden Tate in the end zone one-on-one, I don't know how people feel about how many fades we throw.
We throw a lot.
I don't have a problem with it with those two guys going up and getting the ball.
Yeah, and usually one of them's coming down with it, which is unbelievable, especially for Floyd being a true freshman that he is.
Yeah.
I mean, he's really shown a lot. I do think that, you know, this game is going to be very, very key for us to see the kind of carryover we've got from the running game that we had against Purdue. I mean, imagine what kind of setback that would be if we go into this game and then not rush. Not exactly for the same, but at least close to that. I mean, if we have a bad rushing day today, that can play really horrendous dividends for us going forward. You'd like to see us establish that again and get to the same level as we did against Purdue and maybe even have, you know, close to the same numbers.
Isn't it interesting how when you put Floyd and Tate in the lineup that – helps our running game.
Absolutely.
Okay, you get those two guys on the edges. You get Grimes at flanker. Our freshman tight end, it looks like he knows how to run a pattern, know how to catch. And suddenly, Armando Allen's got some seams, and we're getting some matchups up front. We're getting to the next level and getting linebackers blocked. And that's so part of Charlie's system that he did not have last year. He had a freshman quarterback and nobody on the edges to give him any kind of decided schematic advantage.
Well, that's right. You go back to the first 2 years, Darius Walker, who was not the most dynamic, I mean, solid running back, 1,000-yard seasons both years. That wasn't because, you know,
we lined up and just pounded people.
We spread the field, and it wasn't all on draws.
Right.
But you're able to spread the field and run off tackle a little bit. You know, a guy we didn't talk about last week, Aesop Schwab, actually, I thought played pretty well. He's been a guy that has caught a lot of flack over the years for not being an effective blocker, but there were a number of solid blocks that he made. Again, we talked about the combination of Trevor Robinson playing some guard and then moving out to tight end in running formations and what Kyle Rudolph did. All those guys help us get to the edge because they're leading on, you know, the perimeter, and suddenly, wow, Allen looked a little faster, didn't he? Well,
yeah.
We were getting a hat on people, and right. There were some seams.
I thought he ran with some intensity and purpose that maybe we hadn't seen. But that's always a funny thing. I'm not trying to sort of question the kid's heart or anything like that. It's more an issue of when you start to feel like there's some holes there, when you start to feel like you understand where to hit it, then it tends to give you a little burst in your step, and we saw that.
Yeah, the only last word of caution I'd mention is just that you still got to remember we are still in a situation where at the key positions that Weiss has on the offense that kind of orchestrate this is extremely young. You've got Clausen, who is a quarterback. He's still a sophomore. He's still capable of making those kind of bad reads from time to time. You got guys that are also making reads, the wideouts, you know.
Yeah.
Floyd, Rand Rudolph. These are guys that have to be able on every single down make the right read. And there are times when we don't. I mean, we did it earlier in the season. Where
that's a good point.
Kamara and them. So, you know, unfortunately, we're still in a situation where that could happen on Saturday.
Absolutely. I agree with you completely. Everybody on our schedule, maybe with the exception of Syracuse, is capable of beating us, but we could beat everybody on the schedule as well. I'm taking SC out of the equation for right now. We'll discuss that later. And that's why we're going to be up and down. You know, let's just hope, though, we put it together this week. My prediction, 31-20 Irish. Brammer, what do you think?
I'm going to actually say 35-17.
Okay. We'll throw one to Ed. Let's
prediction?
See what he says.
I think it's Obama by 4 points.
All right, that's one we can go with. All right. All right, you've been listening to Dome and Domer. If you have any questions or comments, send us an email, info@domeanddomer. We'll be back with a recap of the Stanford game early next week. Until then, for Ed Sullivan and Mike Brammer, I'm Mike Sullivan. We'll see you next time.